Romans 15 and verse 4. The believer's voice of victory. Say, I've got a voice of victory. Let's look at it again. So whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And we look at that phrase, patience and comfort of scriptures. And we said the word comfort there has to do with coming to your aid, coming to your assistance. So we can have hope. So which means that the scriptures, right, give us that expectation. For us as believers, the scripture sets goals for us, things we should look forward to. The word LPs and the word LPZO. Then we also saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 11 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they were written for our admonition. We said that means for our warning. For our warning, that we through the patience, and I mean, that upon whom the hands of the world are come. So it's for our warning. So, and we saw last week that we're warned against murmuring. What about fear? Anxiety? We're warned. Now, if God should warn you about something, we said it's to protect you, right? It's to protect you. What about anxiety? To protect you. Sometimes some people are just too afraid, too anxious. Anxious about tomorrow, anxious about the next week, anxious about this one, anxious about that one. They want to raise children, they are anxious. They want to raise anything, they are anxious. They want to do business, they are anxious. They want to go out, they are anxious. They want to go out, then your leg hits the door. Ah, what must this mean? It means we are not looking well. Do you understand? You go out and then, say, why is this car not starting? Is God telling me something? Go and get your mechanic and stop being... Somebody was telling me one day, and she had just been sacked. Okay? And when she was sacked, she was trying to get a job. So she said, Pastor, I'm just thinking. Why was I sacked? Because this job, I prayed for it. And I know God gave me. What is there? Something I need to know. I said, while you are at it, vacancies will pass you by. You were sacked because they no longer need you. Make it simple. Say, I'm just wondering whether it's an attack. It's midfield. It's not attack. Go and apply for another one. I never feel bad. Never. And those who work with me know, the moment something is wrong, let's try the second one. I don't have time to regret. There's no time to regret. No, just go to the next thing. It's so simple. Those have to think, why did I lose it on the 4th of April? I was born the 4th of March. I graduated the 4th of January. Satan is messing up with your mind. He's really playing with your mind. Someone told me one, he said, every time I do things, the third time something happens. I said, we should call you Trinity. You know, just anxiety. Give no such room to the devil. Is that clear? Give no such room to the devil. That says something when they have visitors in their house. As soon as visitors, they start laying hands on the place. There are two people from one church like that. They were going for, same church, they were going for an interview. So they are told to use handkerchief for favor and all those things. So, favor, protection, I mean all purpose. So the guy who was going for the interview came with his own handkerchief. The guy who was interviewing also came, they were from the same church. So I suppose I didn't do like this. The other one was saying, now, how? Cancel. I know another set of people like that. Wherever she goes, she carries a bottle of oil. You know, people that like oil a lot. And then they believe the Holy Spirit is in the oil. I used to ask them, at what point did the Holy Spirit become the oil? Is it when the seed was planted? Is it when it was growing? Is it on the tree? Is it when it was processed? at what point did he become the Holy Spirit? He said, no, that's not yet the Holy Spirit. So when we go to, is when the man of God spoke into it. So why was the Holy Spirit in the man of God? Okay, that's okay. Let the man of God have the Holy Spirit. You'll be carrying the bottle of oil all over the place. So the woman will pour oil anywhere she gets to. So as she got to the house, she put her oil where she was going to sit to sanctify the place. So as she left, our host too poured her own oil. You are just living in bondage. There's a film like that, right? So you go and act. So we must treat the word of God like he gives us the goal, right? He says, we're warned on anxiety, to murmur, to complain, to just be complaining. And it's showing your tone. There was one brother like that in our fellowship from 30 years ago. I think I chatted him last week or so. We say, answers by murmuring. It's called him Bishop. We say, good morning. Oi. How are you? Oi. Oi. Why should you be like that? There is a tone of murmuring. Oh. 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 A believer. That thing should have left. Now you're a new creature. Remove murmuring from your tone. You can talk properly. Why did you put that thing there? I didn't know. Just answer normally. I didn't know I was also. I didn't know. With a murmuring is a sin. You see that? The Bible says you do all things, Philippians 2:14, without murmuring. Now, it says also as examples. So we do have examples. The word there, two posts from the Old Testament. Look at Romans 4. We have an example of faith. Romans 4. And verse 12. Talk about Abraham, the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, all right, but who walk in the steps. The word stoicho there means the example. It shows like an example. The steps, Romans 4:12, of the faith of our father Abraham. And Paul goes ahead to talk about how Abraham was given God's word. And then Romans 4 says that God, and also Abraham, calling the things that be not as though they were. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. So one of the things we copy is to call the things that be not as though they were. God called Abraham a father even when he had no son yet. So we have that example. How call the things that be not as though they were. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember a few years ago, some of you were there. It was at one of the camp meetings. And I said, we're just a few months before that, we've been yanked off television. We're yanked off, you know what I mean, yanked off. We're yanked off TV. We're having one day of our TV program. And then we couldn't afford it anymore. So we're yanked off. Now I came on the camp meeting and I said that we will be on TV internationally this year. Some people felt that we had paid for it. Nah. No, we hadn't paid for it. And that year, we came on TV every day of the week internationally. Hallelujah. Saying the things that be not as though they were. Learn to say things that are in the word of God. We'll see that shortly. Calling the things that be not. So we have the example. And you know, Abraham would look like a fool when they have no son around. Say, I'm a father. Oh, okay, here you are, father. No, but he was a father. You are who God says you are. Say, I'm who God says I am. I have what God says I have. One of the most powerful things you can say. I'm who he says I am. I'm what he says I am. Glory be to his name. Amen. You know, you're born an overcomer. Say, I'm born an overcomer. Nothing defeats me. Praise God. You know, you say that often. You are who he says you are. And what else? Now, Abraham didn't say that on Sunday, then on Monday he changed his confession to something he saw on Twitter. What did he do? He says, against hope, he believed in hope. All right? That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He was not weak in faith. He said, I'm not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I remember one woman, she had gone, she had traveled to Europe anyway. They were trying to have a child, and they couldn't for years. I know the man was wealthy, was a top guy in the country. So the lady came, they brought her to see me, a woman, wonderful sister. The man was even an elder in his church. It was in 2003 or 4. I think it's 3. And so she, interestingly, she now saw a tape, something I preached years ago, why bad things happen to good Christians. She saw the tape and she said, it's true. She had not listened to it though. Huh? Why bad things happen to good Christians. You know, that's it. The Bible says all things work together for, she had not listened to it though. I called her and said, sister, that's not what is there. She said, okay. She came for counseling, but she had the cancer. You know, people like you came, you want to counsel them, they will tell you everything. They will tell you their story and the word of God. So you say, so what do I say now? No, sir, I'm open. You are the teacher here. Anyway, we talked about the word of God. So she told me about the husband that they had discovered that the husband could not actually have a child. And then because of the low sperm count and all, they've done all the surgeries. So I just showed her a scripture. And that was it. I said, you know, the Bible says, we always talk about Abraham believed God, but the writer of Hebrews says Sarah herself. I said, which means that you can believe God too. Herself. And she conceived. So what about saying that your womb is fertile enough for the low sperm count? What about saying that? I said, do you believe it's possible? She said, yes. If God can become a man and dwell in a virgin, he can do that too. That's the least of his miracles. You know, and then she screamed to me a couple of weeks afterwards, and she said, she just found out she had a miscarriage. Now, it looked like bad news, but it was good news for me. So it simply means, actually, you've broken the rule. I think they have about 2 or 3 children now, just by believing God. Just by seeing it in the word of God. If it's in the word of God, it means God has done it before. And he can do it again. Yeah. So you have what to expect. As a believer, you must believe in miracles. I know we're in an age of science. We're in the age of science. People talk about technology and they have a way of doubting the miraculous. And I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again. Sometimes, in judging anything in life, in judging anything. Now, there was an issue that came up on the media about a particular person who is meant to be a pastor. I have my judgment about the man and about whatever he did. I've said it for almost 28 years, so that's not new. But I told fellow believers, I said, really, that I see it differently. That the target of the media was not the man. He was no longer alive. Is actually preachers today and the miraculous. I said, so you cannot use the world as your measurement of judgment. You might not agree with the man, you know, which is positive if it's the word of God, but the miraculous is with us. We believe in the miraculous. We believe in the power of God working. We believe in the sick being healed, the dead raised. Do you believe that? So I will always side with the miraculous. Is that clear? Always know the devil plays a long game. Whenever a preacher is being ridiculed, it's not that preacher that is the focus. The devil plays a long game. Usually what the devil does, he plants doubts to our hearts about preachers generally. That's a long game he plays. And we're not ignorant of his devices, so that's why you be careful. And cautious. And in your local church, you have a pastor, right? Do you have a pastor? Good. So be okay with your own pastor. Amen. And hear what your pastor's teaching from the word of God. So you ensure that you are for the miracle. So when I told her, she just received. She's had children. And I can go on and on. Look at it. It says, he was not weak in faith. What else? In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. Say, I don't stagger at the word of God. He said he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Anyone want to give glory to God here? Come on. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Giving glory to God. He didn't give glory to God because Isaac had come. He gave glory to God before Isaac came. Amen. He gave glory to God before Isaac came. Someone told me, say, I don't believe in all that positive confession thing. I don't think it's, I cannot be saved. Then, you know, I told him, I said, you are one of those people who believe that heaven is your goal. Heaven is your home. Say, yeah. Don't you always thank God for heaven? He said, yeah. Have you seen it? He said, no. So you're into positive confession too. You are also thanking God for something you have never seen. Did you see Jesus on the cross? Did it happen last week? Don't you believe it? Don't you thank God for it? That's what Christianity is about. We are always calling the things that be not as though they were. Glory to God. Yoruba say, Oba Tari, Tari Sheowore. That is someone we have not seen with our physical eyes. But we are seeing the works of his hand. You know, how many times have you said, oh, thank you, God. Not that you saw his face, but you know his power. So learn to call the things that be not. Is that clear? As though they were. So Abraham becomes that example. An example of someone who believed God. Who believed God. Don't always be looking for those people who have, I prayed though, but nothing happened. Why is that one the one that you fill your mind with? I prayed though, I could try it. They say I should fast, I fasted. They say I should slow, I slowed. They say I should do this one. Why is that one the one you remember? Why not the ones that worked? Hallelujah. What are the ones that things happened? Glory to God. Say, I believe in miracles.
I believe in
miracles. Say, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
I do believe in miracles. Man, I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. So we have Abraham. Look at, 1 Peter chapter 3. We can have examples too of Sarah. Sarah was an example of a wife, a woman. All right? The last time I checked, she doesn't have an Instagram account. Amen? Oh, Shonda. 1 Peter 3. I like how that woman dresses. I mean, she's my 1 Peter 3. Verse 5. After this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. Look at 6. So how would your role model be someone who doesn't submit to her husband? And don't forget also, if your role model is Abraham, Abraham treated his wife well. Amen. Praise God. You also listen to her. Amen.
Amen.
But you don't listen to that kind of listening anyway. Now, he said, for in this manner in the old time, the women also who trusted in God had done themselves, been in subjection unto their own husband, as they obeyed him, calling him what? Oni? Shikabai? Lord? Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husband, because I know the guys were nodding. Now it's time to nod, guys. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, physically speaking, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. So he gives instructions to the man too. So we have examples in scripture. Look at James 5. James 5. And verse 16. Confess false one to another, pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, which means he is just like you and I. You know, just like you and I. He was afraid at some point, he ran away from a woman. Imagine after he was done with the prophets of Baal. It was Jezebel, one damsel that threatened him. The guy ran, he jackpot. He ran for his life. You know? And he says here, he prayed and asked that he might not rain. He rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again. So Elijah becomes an example of prayer. How he prayed. And he prayed again and again. And he prayed earnestly. Look at the kind of prayer he's talking about. Earnestly. Which means he prayed with his whole being. Not the one you poke and say, my God, oh, my God. Thank you, Father. For the unsaved are saved now. 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 The unborn again are born again. Now. He prayed. Now there was an example we're told not to follow. Not directly. But in the book of Romans, you have Elijah. Romans 11. Elijah, out of that frustration one day, in verse 2, he says, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged thy altars. I'm left alone and they seek my life. And God said, not you, I have 7,000 guys, okay? You know, we shouldn't be like that. Sometimes you feel you're exclusive. It's only our church that knows the word of God. It's only our ministry. It's only my, no, that's been stupid. Elijah wasn't stupid, no doubt, but that's been silly. God is bigger than your church. It's bigger than your ministry. So he's saying here, don't have that mentality. God has people everywhere. Is that clear? He has people all over the world. Everywhere. Everywhere he has people. He's God. Amen. And so he says we shouldn't be like that. So we have examples of what to follow. You know, and we are given such admonition. So which means that when we read the God had given victory to Israel, he gave them a land, but they never entered the land. How did they not enter the land? What happened? Why didn't they enter the land? Did God stop them? Nope. Their words stopped them. Numbers 14. Their words. Because it was the words that would take them there. Their words stopped them. Numbers 14. Truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now when God starts a statement by truly as I live, be careful. As you have spoken. Some words are curses. What's a curse? A curse is not somebody telling you, no go better for you. All those ones are just jokes. No go better for you. A curse, there are two words that stand for curse in scripture, Old Testament. The word qualal and the word arar. Qualal is spelled Q-A-L-A-L. Arar is spelled A-R-A-R. Now, both of them have something similar. It means to forbid you from doing something. Another one means to exile you, to take you out. Now, our words can be curses because the nation of Israel cursed themselves. Everything that Moses called a curse in Deuteronomy 28, they got by speaking. By speaking, because that's exile. They were exiled from the land by words. So notice your words can be curses. You know, something as simple as this. For many years, I used to say, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I used to say it so well. Yeah, I'm just going to teach. I'm not a pastor. And every time I had a church ministry, the church either didn't grow or it stopped. So I now sat down and said, why is this happening? So I noticed it was in my words. So I changed it and I started saying, I am a pastor. I pastor. And so the glory of God is coming to pass. Amen. You need to change what you're saying. Because they said it and they said, whatever you have spoken, that will I do. That will I do. And it's what they said. So your words can be a curse. Where with your words, you forbid yourself Hallelujah. Say, I won't fall. In the name of Jesus. You know, you're not bragging on yourself, right? Why are you saying I won't fall? Because God said he'll keep you from falling. Okay? It's not that you have some strength that is... No, no, no. You are saying that because God said so. Okay? Amen? So I'll keep growing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You keep saying that. You keep saying that. Your words. On the path of victory, we need to use our words well. Or else we'll curse ourselves. You curse yourself. That means you have an aral, where you forbid yourself. And that happened to Esau. In foolishness. In Genesis 25, he's with his brother, Jacob, and Jacob said to him, you know, what could have been in that pottage, you know? I mean, what, did he put a son or something? I don't know. I like a son personally, but what would he have put there? He said, he's so hungry and famished, and he says, hey. And the brother said, Jacob said, give me your birthright. And he said, what profit do I have with the birthright? And those words were profane words. And the writer of Hebrews said, when he went to his father, you know, he got to his father and then the father blessed Jacob according to God's will. And then he says to his father, is there no more blessing? Come on. The father said, no, I blessed Jacob and he remained blessed. The writer of Hebrews said he sought a place for repentance. He couldn't find it. Now what that meant is not that he was trying to repent. He never tried to repent. Esau was a profane guy from beginning to the end. The repentance, the writer of Hebrews was talking about, he wanted the father to change his mind. But he said there was no such place for repentance. So we should watch what we say. Don't speak lightly on the things of God. There was a preacher who called me years ago, and he said to me, he said, I noticed that the gifts of the Spirit have waned in my ministry. I'd known him when he was in the school. So he told me, and I asked him a question. I said, what have you been saying? And he admitted. He said there was this preacher he was listening to very well who always joked about supernatural things. And he submitted himself to the man. And I said, that's the point. So I said, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to bring someone. I didn't want to preach for him because of some principle. So I said, I'm going to bring someone. And the person will come to your pulpit and will re-emphasize those things so you can take it from there. So because you've spoken down on it in your church and that's what you're going to see. So the preacher came. I brought the preacher myself. I could have done it, but I didn't for personal reasons. So I brought the preacher, which is Reverend Tokes actually, and he ministered there. And what a move of the Spirit. And he just continued from there. So if you have missed it in words, you get it back in words. You get it back. So get back on it. Words are so important. We said the other day, if words are not important, why do we use it to pray, to praise, to preach, to bless God, to edify? Words are powerful. Say with me, my words are powerful. So your words should not come out as a curse. Also, words can be riddles. Riddles. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, a riddle is when you say something that is not clear. I know I'm healed, but what's the but part? I know I'm saved, but what is the but part? You know, and people talk like that. They have riddles. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. They have riddles. Things that, what are you really saying? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Where you speak God's word and they put a condition. You speak God's word and say something else. You create a riddle. Verse 2, it says, be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Let your words be what? Few. Those who talk a lot say nonsense. Let your words be few. Don't be rash with words. Don't quickly react. Look at the next one in verse 5. Sorry, verse 6. He says, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither thou shalt before the angels. It was an error. Wherefore God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands. It's an error. The word shugach. S-H-U-G-G-A-H. Where you are saying, what did I say? Mistake. I know I wanted to speak the... No. James chapter 3 tells us about words. James chapter 3, run there quickly, and verse 2. You have to watch what you are saying. Don't be caught in speaking two contradictory things. It's a riddle. And usually, it's a negative one that will happen. Be consistent with speaking the word of God. Do you hear me? James 3, verse 2. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same man is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold also the sheep, which though they be great and are driven of first winds, he says, yet are turned about with a very small helm whither the governor listed. Look at verse 5. Let's take verse 5 together. Even so the tongue. Now hold it. You know the tongue here is not, I hope you know. Not the one that sticks out of your mouth. No. It's talking about words. Okay? Let's go again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. Let's take six together. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the curse of nature. Hallelujah. Watch what you say. Watch what you say to others. That's what he's saying there. You can destroy people's lives by words. You can destroy your own too. Even when you are correcting people who've heard, they're falling into sin. Watch what you say. Even when you fall into sin, you must know what you say. Speak the word of God. God's corrections are not to destroy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul had just written a letter, and that letter is meant to rebuke the entire church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 13. Let's take it together, verse 10. Therefore, let's go. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. According to the power which the Lord has given to me to what? And not to destruction, to build. So you can correct to build. I've explained to you the difference between condemnation from the devil and correction from God. Now, I'm not sure they do this anymore, but remember when we were in the primary school and then the teacher, maybe you did an arithmetic sum and then you got it wrong. The teacher will write, like this, X. Then we'll now write the correction on it. Who had that experience? They will now correct you. This is what you ought to have done. That is how God corrects. The devil will say, are you sure you are born again? Can God ever use you? That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will correct you and you'll have remorse, no doubt. You can even cry. But he builds you with that correction. Is that clear? There is hope in God's correction. There's hope in God's correction. There was a brother like that. I'm sure he's going to watch this because he's now in the ministry. He follows us now. He used to be one of my earlier disciples. I've known him over 30 years now. And I think he even wrote this story on Facebook some years ago. And he now backslid. So he backslid. People knew him with me, so they were wondering what was happening. He backslid. He wasn't fervent like before. So a brother now told me, he said, what's happening to that guy? I said, well, praying for him, trusting God. He said, praying for him what? He said, no, are you sure he's born again? I said, well, he is born again. He said, Jesus said that many shall come in my name. Keep quiet. I never knew thee. Are you sure? I left that. How that guy now came? And the guy really, I mean, he backslid for a while. Not 1 month, not 2 months, not 3 months. It was long. And it was really there. I mean, when you have seen somebody so fervent, then he goes shoop down. It was almost like a backflip. So he now came to me and said, well, the Lord is saying to me that if brother so-and-so does not repent in 3 months, he will die. Ah. I don't understand. You know, the rules of God are angry. Did you die for his sins? No. I said, okay. I didn't say anything. Yeah. But I didn't have time to make any argument. So I waited for 3 months. I looked at the date. So on that third month, the exact day, I took a cutlass to the guy's house. I said, Flash, still alive. Can you help God? He had even forgotten he said it. So no, me, I did not forget to. It's time to kill the brother. Also, how can you threaten people with death because they've sinned? A believer says, hey, bro. And there are believers who are insulting God every day and they're living up to 120 years. Not threatening a believer. That's not the Holy Ghost though. The brother got restored. Even attended our meetings afterwards and doing well in the work of the ministry. So, hey, you know, that's not how God corrects. So, even when you fall into sin, always speak like David. Lord, you have created in me a new heart. You have given me a right spirit. You have not taken your Holy Spirit away from me. You will teach me your ways in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know my heart is repentant. My heart is broken. I'm born of your spirit. Always speak God's word. Say, I'm finished. That's not God though. I'm done. And this one, where is that in the Bible? It is finished. Oh, hey. Someone was on crying. He cried and said, look, you're wasting my time. So, I don't know. I said, interesting. Then the church where I pastored, the church I mentioned earlier, they had 15 minutes for everybody because they knew that people can take time. They said 15 minutes. So what the rule then was, the secretary would now come, not talk to me, say, you have 10 minutes more. So this person cried for 10 minutes. Did not even say what the problem was. I was just, I know they are going to drive you out. When I started talking, I said, see, God has forgiven you in Christ. Oh, sir. It's like you just want to tell me something that is sweet. I said, let me tell you something. You're a very proud person. You're a very arrogant person. God has forgiven you. And you're saying, you, God, forgive me how? So that's not what I meant. That's what you meant. You are arrogant. Oh, you accept God's forgiveness and get out of my office. Say, I'm who God says I am. I have what he says I have. Yeah, God wants us to live right, okay, and have good works, but he doesn't want us to wallow in self-pity and condemnation. Imagine the Samson. Samson, who had just been in incarceration. He said, the Lord said, just one time. The Lord, just give me one time. Let me handle these guys. One time. And you know, the thing about it is, most of the time, people do not know when the man's hair was growing. His hair was growing. That same air was growing. It wasn't obvious. So he didn't need the big air, just a small one. Hallelujah. And that's all. You see, God is not man. Is that okay? Don't give up on anybody. Is that okay? Neither should you give up on yourself. Is that okay? God's grace is working in your life. I said God's grace is working in your life. Even if you're battling a habit right now, it seems like you're falling every day on it, keep speaking God's word. Say, I'm overcoming sin. In the name of Jesus. The power of God's Spirit is working through me. In the name of... condemnation is never the answer. Pity is never the answer. Speaking words that are horrible is not the answer. God's word is the answer. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So don't speak double things. Double. In Matthew's Gospel 14, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. In verse 28. You know, I used to tell people this. You can say Peter doubted though, but at least he left the boat. What about the ones that were there? They say, you go first, let's see. At least he attempted it. And, you know, he walked on water for a while. Now, he did. He said, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus went ahead and Jesus said, oh, Peter. I told you, speak the words. Can you see your line? Jesus rescued him first, then rebuked him. Some guys will be rebuking you while you are drowning. Brother, I told you to fast. I told you to fast. You see what fasting should have done? Where? Start fasting. He rescued him first. But here you are, Peter. He spoke two contrary things. Be firm in your confession of God's word. The third thing, we must be careful in our words, jokes. There are jokes that we shouldn't have. Don't joke around the world. That's why I told you before, and I've said it over time, don't watch skits. I love comedy. I love entertainment generally. I do love comedy. I mean, I grew up watching Sanford and Sons. What do you call it now? JJ. I love those. I love comedy. What's the other one? Jacob, Aderupoko, and Papi Lulu. You know them? Yeah. Jaguar. I love comedy. You see, but the moment you stray into spiritual things, I switch off. Because I know Satan plays a long game. I won't be seeing the gravity of those things again. So you watch it. It's good to, I mean, God is sarcastic too. One time God told Israel that, you like onions, Abby? I'll cause them to come out through your nose. Well, that's a joke now. It was sarcastic. When he said, let the weak say I'm strong. Is that not sarcasm? Hey, you just say, oh, come now. Come. Bring on Chelsea. Something like that. You know, I let them bought another player. They are looking for Osimhen. That club, they are so confused. So anyway, Ephesians 5:4 says, it says that we should watch what we say. He said, not coerce jesting. Coerce jesting. Ephesians 5:4. Watch the things you joke about. Don't joke about divine healing, okay? Divine protection, okay? Don't say, if I just sleep there, I just see myself on that trailer. What did you just say? Don't talk like that, oh. Don't talk like that. Don't joke around those kind of things. Is that clear? Ephesians 5. Learning something? Neither filthiness nor what? Foolish talking. No, there's foolish talking. Talk like an idiot. Nor jesting, which are not convenient. The word jesting there is the word eutrapelia. Eutrapelia. It means very light speaking. You are loose. It's speaking with no control. It's not saying you should not jest, but it's not convenient. You can joke. I mean, how can life be without jokes? What kind of life is that? Bible has jokes. There's a lot of sarcastic statements in scripture. Do you understand? But it's not sarcasm that contradicts God's word. Proverbs 1:6, the word interpretation there means sarcasm. So do not include the word of God in your jokes. Is that okay? Always, when it comes to the word of God, be fixed and firm on what you say. So I'm walking in the light of the word of God. So I'm not confused. In the name of Jesus. I'm not confused. In the name of Jesus. I take the right decisions. I take the proper decisions. In the name of Jesus. My mind is stable. In the name of Jesus. My mind is stable. In the name of Jesus. Say that again. My mind is stable. In the name of Jesus.
Anxiety
has no room on my heart.
Fear
has no place
around me.
There's no fear here.
There's no anxiety
here. In the name of Jesus.
Now,
don't just say that in church and get out there and say something else. That's double confession. Be firm around it. Be firm about it. Learn to speak God's word. Sickness has come on your body. The doctor has said something you don't want to hear, which is reality to your body. Just say, in the name of Jesus, the power of God is working. In the name of Jesus, everything's going to work out fine. In the name of Jesus, I have my healing. In the name of Jesus, I live long in Jesus' name. You know, somebody was telling me one time that Kenneth Hagin, when he died, was diagnosed of a cardiac arrest. It was 87. And someone told me, well, is that not the heart he said he was healed of when he was 16? That means he was just coping us. I said, you're actually very daft. If somebody had heart failure at 16 and lived 70 years more, is that not a miracle? Some people are just dunce. Allow me to use Nigerian language. What did you just say? For 70 years, a man that was told to die at 16 lived up to 86. Glory to God. You know, you're living long to fulfill God's plan for your life. And you're going to be strong and strong and strong and strong. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
So you must watch out for curses, riddles, and jokes. Okay? Watch out for curses, riddles, and jokes. Numbers 14:28. As you have spoken in my ears, whether it's a joke, whether it's a curse, or whether it's a riddle, so should I do, or will I do unto you. So we must watch what we say and ensure that what we say is in line with God's word. Is that clear? Now, in Psalm 103 and verse 20, it talks about the angels of God, supernatural beings there, and it says, they hearken to the voice of his word. Now, why do you have to use voice and word together? Because the word of God has a voice. You must say it. The word of God has a voice. You must say it. There is the voice of the word. You must give voice to God's word. You must give voice to God's word. You must put it on your lips. You must give voice to God's word. See, I give voice to God's word. In the work of the ministry. There's no time I come to preach that I don't say something. I know I've prayed, I spent time praying and fasting, but I'm coming up, I have things I always say. I've been saying it for as long as I can remember, well over 28 years. I have things I say. I have things I say by faith. I say in the name of Jesus, the word of God is clear to those who hear me. In the name of Jesus, there's clarity as I preach. In the name of Jesus, I say that one in faith. I say things in consecration. Lord, you know it's part of me, you're going to bless people. Give unto me words and a vessel so that I'll bless people. I always say, I said it this morning twice. I say it every time. If I'm speaking today at the cell leaders conference, I'm going to say the same thing. Because I know my words matter a lot. I don't say things like, if people are not hearing the word, I say people are hearing it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. One day we were in a room and I'm teaching. There were four people there. And they were dozing. Two of them are your pastors today. They were dozing. One dose that I could hear. Now, of course, I started preaching for about 8 o'clock. And that was about 2 a.m. So don't laugh. That's a long time. And then I'm teaching them the integrity of the word. Now I'm explaining from the Old Testament. Jesus, the word. Jesus, and then, you know, actually, what happened was that they didn't understand. It was year 2000, I think. You know. It was like a hostage situation. And, you know, naturally, I told them, I said, what I'm preaching now is going to be heard around the world. I said it there. I said, I'm going to preach it around the world. That's what formed the book, This Is Our God. Hallelujah. It was not when we started writing it, it was when I said it. Is that clear? Never, don't say, Since our fellowship is not even growing, what do I do? It will never grow. Just say, we are growing in the name of Jesus. We're expanding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone told me one time, I was trying to teach a person how to get people with the Holy Ghost. So he said, I don't know how to get people with the Holy Ghost. I said, I can't go with you. Sir, I'm just saying, no. Say, firstly, I get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, yes. I get them filled with the Holy Ghost in their tens and hundreds. Say, yes. So let's go. So as soon as I said, I laid hands on one person, I said, follow through. And that was it. Don't start with defeat. No, don't. Start with victory. Say, I win.
I win.
Say, I win.
I win.
Glory to God. I win over sin. I win over flesh. I win over the world and the devil in the name of Jesus. So use your words right. Is that clear? Use your words right. Psalm 35 and 20, let's read some things. Oh, come on. Things you should say. Psalm 35 and 28. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and all that thy praise all day long. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Oh, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. My thoughts are towards you. That cannot be reckoned up in order. I will declare and speak of them. They are more than that can be numbered. Hallelujah. I love this one. Psalm 45 and verse 3. Guard my sword upon that thou majesty, that thy glory and thy majesty. Psalm 49 and verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Measure of my heart shall be of understanding. Shall I speak wisdom? Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 46. I will speak of your testimonies. Also before kings I will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Verse 172. My tongue will speak of your word, and all your commandments are righteousness. Psalm 145. Know what to use your tongue for. Is that clear? Psalm 145. And verse 5. I'll speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible ark, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Look at verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of your power. Look at verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 29. I don't want to call it one of my favorite verses because it's carnal to have a favorite verse, but I like that verse. Psalm 29 and verse 9. The voice of the Lord, alright, makes the angels the cow and discovers the forest in his temple. Oh, glory. But everyone shall glory. So learn to say glory of the glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we in his temple? Is the earth his temple? So what do we say all the time? Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. How are you today? Glory. What's going on? Glory. Hallelujah. To fill our mouth with the glory of God. Uttering the glory of God all the time. You know, Jesus, when he died and went to the grave, you know, he didn't just go like this. You know, of course, the prophets and then the New Testament writer said he went, he didn't open his mouth. What they meant was he didn't defend himself. He opened his mouth too. Did you see what he said on the cross? Or when the criminal on the cross said, remember your kingdom, did you say? Said, today I say to you, you will be with me. That's what he said. He said, I thirst, said it on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He said that on the cross. Then when he went to the grave, Peter lets us know he wasn't quiet. Look at Acts 2. He wasn't quiet. Jesus spoke till the resurrection morning. Acts 2. Verse 24, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it wasn't possible that he should be holding of it. David speak concerning him, saying, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand, and I might not be moved. Watch this. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Let's take 27 together. Because neither would you suffer, to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, Now look at 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, but he's not dead and buried in the sepulchre is here with us. Being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath that all the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing therefore spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David's words were used by Jesus right there in the grave. Fill your mouth with the word. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 12, there's no darkness as dark as hell. Is that it? Come on. Look at Matthew 12. It can't be darker than that. Matthew 12. They asked Jesus for a sign, and he told them in 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, was Jonah quiet? No, he wasn't. He spoke from the moment, for 3 days and three nights Jonah was speaking. He was speaking. Jesus was speaking, because Jesus is like Jonah in the grave. He's speaking. Ezekiah was like that too. The prophet was going to tell him, set your eyes in order, you die. He didn't say, He turned his face and began to talk to God. He talked himself out of it. Let you talk yourself out of it. The time you shut yourself in the room. That's not the time to go and watch Netflix. Is that clear? Or go and watch a Kindle or whatever. Shut the door and begin to speak to yourself. And begin to walk and say, this is the word of God for me. In the name of Jesus, I walk in victory. In the name of Jesus, my path is clear. My mind is clear. Don't call a friend and say, I think I'm confused though. And the friend say, you are confused. I'm confused too. That's your agreement too. Two shall agree as touching anything shall be done. Why not just put the word of God on your lips and say, in the name of Jesus, I walk in victory. Jesus spoke on the cross. He spoke in the grave. He spoke when he rose from the dead. He's always speaking. I told you before, our spirit is a speaking spirit. We are always speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? Look at Numbers 13. What did they say that got them into trouble? They saw giants, spiritually conceived Nephilims. Giants. Numbers 13. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, verse 33, which come of giants. Sons of Anak, which come of giants, were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were in their sight. The issue there, and the word giants here, Nephilim in the Greek, in the Hebrew, we've done this study before, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M, is from a word Naphal, N-A-P-H-A-L. It means a tyrant, a bully. They saw spiritual bullies. They were scared. Now, why was it unbelief towards God? Because God was in their camp. He was right there in their camp. Imagine if you had the U.S., what do you call it now? See, the Delta Forces, or what do you call it now? And it, these guys are trained to, what's the name again? The Naval SEAL. And they are with you. In about 20 of them. And those guys, one of them can take out anywhere 20 of them. Then one guy who's a tout down your road. So I'm gonna get that. Yeah, and you're shaking. That means you don't have confidence in those guys. Is that it? They saw spiritual beings, but Yahweh was in their midst. God is with you. Hallelujah. God is with you. Glory to God. He's with you. So he said, what have they done? He said, whatever they have said. Because when they said we will be destroyed in the wilderness, they meant that those guys were more powerful than Yahweh himself. Hallelujah. You know something I know? There's no one as powerful as Yahweh God. I know that one. I know it. I love a story Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said one day. He was believing God for the healing of his child. He said he had prayed. He and his wife. And one day he said he kept quiet. He said, God, and I love the testimony a lot because it's very real. He said, you know, if there was someone more powerful than you, I'll have gone to him. But I know you are the most powerful. You are God. I'm trusting you here. You know how many feel like saying that this morning? You know, I know you are the most powerful. Amen. There's no one, I know you saved me. You have saved me forever. But I also know you can still save me in other things. I know you can rescue. When I make errors, I know you can rescue. I trust you. I know you don't give up. So I won't. I know you're powerful. So my words will align with your power today. Glory to God. In the work of the ministry, Paul says we should put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord. Close here. And then the power of his might. And look at the whole armor of God. There's only one of them which is a weapon to fight. The shield of faith is to defend. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. None of them is an attack weapon except the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God speaking. Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God speaking. Pray. So in the whole armor of God, there's the offensive weapon, our words, to speak God's word in the name of Jesus. To speak God's word. One of our pastors told me this. He said, look, Pastor, when we got there, people were wondering how we're going to do the work of the ministry here. He said, but you've always told us to say what we want to see. We kept saying it. We kept saying it. We kept saying it. He said, we are planting more churches here. He said, we're doing more here. So, Pastor, it's happening. It will keep happening. Some of us would have said, I don't know what to do here. And that's it. You know, we're advancing in the name of Jesus. We're taking territories. We said this year is for growing and growth. And we're growing. And there's growth in the name of Jesus. We're expanding on all sides. And we're doing better than last year and the years before. In all our endeavor, we're getting better and better. And you know you are getting better. You know you are getting better. You're getting better and better. And you are doing things better. You are handling things better. You are handling situations better. Every difficult situation, you got wisdom for it. You got wisdom for it. You got wisdom for it. In the name of Jesus. You are getting better and better. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You are getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better. And getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better. You don't walk in shadows. You have absolute light. Light in the word of God. Available to you. In the name of Jesus. Walk in victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give voice to that victory. Don't give voice to anxiety. Don't give voice to fear. Don't give voice to pity and condemnation. Give voice to victory. Victory over the flesh. Victory over sin. Victory over the world. Victory over demons. Victory over the works of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I am victorious. Lift your hands and bless him. Give me the word.